Good morning. My name's Andy. I'm the pastor at Legacy South, and I'm so glad to bring the message to you this morning. We're continuing our series, Between You and Me, looking at some of the tiny books of the Bible that really have a big impact and a big message. We looked last week at 2 John, reminding us to not wander from our faith, but to stay strong in our faith in Jesus, to stay grounded in Jesus. And today, we're going to look at Philemon. And Philemon is found right before Hebrews. If you find Hebrews in your Bible and turn one page forward, you'll find Philemon. If you turn two pages, you'll miss it. But it's one page before Hebrews in your Bible. So if you want to turn to that and get ready for the message today, let's pray together. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the privilege of being able to bring this message this morning. I pray that these will be your words and not mine. I pray that you will prepare minds and hearts to receive them. May you be made great and I be made small this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a letter written from the Apostle Paul, and he's writing from prison. He's in prison in Rome. And so I'm just going to give you the story to start with and let you know what happened. So what's going on is Paul had spent 2 to 3 years in Asia Minor at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, and he does what Paul does, and that's preach the gospel, preach the good news to people. People come to Christ all the time with Paul's preaching. And one of the people that he met while he was in Ephesus was a man named Philemon. And Philemon lived in Colossae, and Colossae was outside of Ephesus, but he obviously came in sometime. We don't know how, but he encountered the Apostle Paul, and Paul explained and talked to him about Jesus, and Philemon became a follower of Christ. He became a Christian, and he went back to Colossae, and he started hosting a church in his home. He had a home church. So one of the things we know about Philemon is that he was a man of means. He had some money, and the way we know he had some money is two things. One, he had a home that would host a group of people. They could gather in his home, so he had a good-sized home. The other one is he kept slaves. Now, I don't want to really open up the whole slave talk today because I want you to think about it differently than you probably do. Paul never endorsed or encouraged slavery throughout his ministry, but we're really not going to dig into that today. I want you to think about your car. Slaves in this day and age were property. That's the way it was viewed. So if Paul would have told them, hey, you need to get rid of your slaves, it would have been like someone telling you to get rid of your car and not use your car anymore. So that's kind of the way this was in their culture at that time. So Philemon hosts this church in his home, and he does great work in Colossae. And he keeps a slave, and one of his slaves is named Onesimus. And Onesimus escapes. And before he leaves, he actually wrongs Philemon in some way. We believe it was theft. We think he stole either money or property or both from Philemon, and he ran away. He ran away all the way to Rome. He ran to a big city where he could escape and blend into the crowd and not be found. And Rome's a place that he could do that. And so while he's in Rome, guess who he runs into? He runs into the Apostle Paul. So Onesimus runs into Paul, and Paul does what Paul does and tells him the good news of the gospel, preaches to him about Jesus, and Onesimus comes to faith in Jesus and becomes a follower of Christ. And he actually serves Paul while Paul's in prison. Prison in Rome would be house arrest. That's what Paul was under. They put him on the third floor where he can't get away, lock him up, and leave him. They don't provide meals. They don't care for him. They just leave him. So he needed to have people to serve and to help him. And so that's one of the things that Onesimus did, was served Paul while he was in prison. And you can imagine that Onesimus coming to faith had this gnawing at him because he knew he had unresolved issues that he needed to come to terms with back with his master at Colossae. So I can see him coming to Paul and saying one day, Paul, I need to tell you about something that I've done, and proceed to tell Paul the story of how he stole from Philemon. And I can see Paul, Philemon, I know Philemon. That's a great guy. I know him. I'll tell you what, here's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to go back and face some music for what you've done, but I'm going to write you a letter. Paul was a letter writer, so he jots down a quick letter, short, small letter, and sends it with Onesimus back to Philemon. So Philemon, I can picture being on his porch and looking off in the distance and seeing somebody saying, you know, that looks like Onesimus, but he wouldn't show his face again. Definitely not a prodigal son moment where he's going to go running out with joy to greet him. But as he gets closer, he'll be like, my goodness, that's my runaway slave, Onesimus. So waiting on the porch, you can see Philemon standing there and Onesimus approaching, saying, wait, before you say anything, Philemon ready to throw him into chains and just lock him away, or worse, he could have even been crucified for stealing and running away. That's the law of the land. This was within Philemon's rights to take his life for what had happened. But you can see Onesimus saying, wait, before you do anything, before you say anything, you need to read this letter from Paul. Paul sent me this letter for you and for your wife and son. How do you know Paul? Well, I served him while he was in prison. Paul's in prison again. And really not knowing what, I can see him opening a letter and then reading. And so that's where we're going to pick this up. He has some greetings that Paul gives him. And then we're going to start in Philemon chapter 4. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ, but it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do this. Do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. So this letter, this small letter from the Apostle Paul to Philemon, is all for his slave to be set free, to not be a slave anymore, to be released, and to be treated as a brother. So we look at this, and we have some lessons that we can pull from this. There's three lessons I'd like to pull today. It's a who, a what, and a why. To start with, who are you? Who are you, not in your identity in Christ? We are a follower of Christ. That's who we are. That's our identity. But what's your personality type? What type of personality are you? If you look here in verse 7, this is a great verse. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Philemon is a refresher. He builds people up. He restores them. And we know people like that. You know people in your life who are just a joy to be around. They encourage you. They're positive thinkers. There's somebody when you're around them, you want to be around them more. And you also know people who are drainers. They take the life right out of you. You get to talking with them, and it just like it sucks the energy from your body, from your mind, from your soul, and you're just down when you finish up. What type of personality are you? Are you a refresher? Are you a drainer? I think we are called as followers of Christ to strive to be refreshers, to be people who build people up, who encourage, who share the joy of Christ through our words and our actions. And I think if we start doing this, it's something that will continue to grow within us. Now, a couple of tips for you to start with: identify your personality. If this is not natural to you, if you are a drainer, stop. Make a conscious effort to stop being a drainer. That would be your first step. But if you are someone who is not a drainer, but you might not be an over-the-top refresher, I would encourage you to start small. Just start with the people closest to you. Start in your own home, seeing how you can be a refresher. Our children nowadays, they need encouragement. They need to be lifted up. They need to be in the presence of Christian role models who are refreshers. That's something that is needed. I think if we start small, start in our own home, that would be the best place to begin a quest to be a refresher. There's a story about a wife who's a refresher named Sophia, and she had a husband who was an author, and he was having a bad day. He had just been fired from his job at a publishing house, and he was coming home to tell Sophia. He walks in, and he gives her the bad news, and her response was excitement. She was like, joy, you can finally do what you were meant to do. You are meant to write. And he's like, well, yes, I know I'm meant to write, but how are we going to live? And Sophia goes over to a dresser, pulls open the drawer, and pulls out a huge wad of money. He's like, where on earth did this come from? She says, I've been saving every week when you give me your paycheck. She goes, I knew you were called to write a book, so I would just pull a little bit aside and set it back for this moment here. We've got enough to live on for the next year while you write the masterpiece that you're called to write. That author went on to write a book. You may have heard of it. It's called The Scarlet Letter. The author's name, Nathaniel Hawthorne. That's the power of a refresher in our lives. What is this about, this message? What do we have to look at in this? I would say it's not the popular message of our culture right now. Right now, our culture is caught up with justice. And we hear language about what's fair, and it's all on social media about what's right and what's not right and what's true and not true. And that is not the message of Philemon. Philemon is a message about forgiveness, about reconciliation, and about grace. That's what Philemon teaches us. So I want to speak just a minute to those points. First is forgiveness. We are called to be a people who forgive. And forgiveness that I would use, the definition I love of forgiveness, is a conscious decision to release the need for consequences. I'm going to give that to you again. It's a conscious decision to release the need for consequences. The easy way to put that is I'm letting it go and putting it in God's hands, just like Scripture tells me to do. Forgiveness is something we are called to. We are called to release people from consequences, and that is for us. That is for our benefit, so we don't drag that darkness around with us. That bitterness, that grudge can weigh down our soul, and that's not what we are called to do. Reconciliation is different. Reconciliation and forgiveness often get paired together, and they go together, but not always. Reconciliation is different from forgiveness. Reconciliation is the restoration of a relationship. And what I would say is sometimes forgiveness always needs to happen. Forgiveness needs to happen for us, but sometimes reconciliation can't happen right away. Sometimes the hurt's so deep. Sometimes the relationship is so toxic. Sometimes the situation is downright dangerous and reconciliation can't happen right away. But Philemon tells us when it can happen, we should work towards it. Forgiveness and reconciliation are the message. That's what this teaches us right here. Think about this. Philemon has this slave coming back to him who had stolen from him. He has the right to be able to crucify him for his crimes. And Paul delivers this short little letter through this man saying, this man is not the same. This man needs to be forgiven. This man needs to be not just reconciled to you, but restored past the point of slavery into the position of brother. Man, that would be a pretty big pill to swallow in that day and age right there. And we sometimes, in some of the hurts in our lives, some of the experiences we have a pretty big pill to swallow when it comes to forgiveness and reconciliation. So I've got three things for you to recognize that hopefully can help you with this what that is being taught in Philemon. One, recognize that often, more times than not, this is beyond our abilities. Forgiveness and reconciliation are the work of the Holy Spirit. This is something that we have to trust in God to be able to work a mighty work among people and to change situations and change hearts. Second is we need to recognize the wrongs. People mistakenly sometimes just gloss over what had happened, and that doesn't happen here. If you look in verse 18, Paul addresses that. He says, as he's writing to Philemon, he says, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. He recognizes that there's been a wrong done, several wrongs that are done, and we have to recognize the wrongs that are involved in the situation. We can't glaze over them, act like they never happened. We have to name them and recognize them before we can move past them. Third is we have to recognize that this forgiveness, this reconciliation, this grace is what's been done for us. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We all deserve death. That's the truth. The wages of sin is death, and that's what we deserve. But Jesus said no. I have another plan for my beloved children. We have to recognize that this is what's been done for us. And that's what Paul does in this story. It's interesting. This small little letter, Philemon, doesn't speak to the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's the only letter Paul writes that doesn't speak to Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's because Paul models it himself. Right there, he says, whatever debt is owed, whatever wrong has happened, charge it to my account. Because that's what Jesus did for Paul, and that's what Paul is going to do for Onesimus. And that's what Jesus does for us. And so we have to extend that out to other people through the power of the Holy Spirit, naming the wrongs, moving into a position of forgiveness, when possible, working towards reconciliation. So the way I would put it, and I'll leave you with this thought on it, is it's God's will for us to be a people who forgive and reconcile. So we need to loosen our grip on our own will and tighten our grip on God's will. Leads us into why. So the why here is not the what you're going to get out of it. That's not the why I'm speaking to. The why, I believe, is truly why these things happen. What is the motive behind why we do what we do? I think that's a question we are challenged to ask ourselves in Philemon. Why do we do what we do? Because the motive, why we do what we do, that reflects our heart. Listen to verse 14. But I didn't want you to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. Paul, with his position, with his history with Philemon, he could have commanded him or ordered him to release Onesimus to him or to take him out of slavery or to treat him as a brother. He could have commanded all of that, but he wasn't trying to command Philemon. He was trying to grow Philemon into a Christian, into a Christian man who thinks like a Christian, who acts like a Christian, who has the motives of a Christian. It was teaching. And that's what we constantly have to be doing ourselves, is learning and questioning why we do what we do. You'll go sometimes on a trip with youth, and I've been on service projects and mission trips with youth, and I really get a kick out of seeing them grow in their faith. They'll start off sometimes, and you would be serving somewhere, maybe in a projects or in a lower income area, or maybe in another country, and when you're unpacking it with the youth, sometimes it's always like, man, it really made me appreciate how good I have it here, how lucky I am. And that's a true feeling of what they're feeling from that. But it's interesting, as they mature in their faith, as they grow, as they turn in to mature believers, how that changes into a heart for the people, a heart for the lost, a heart for the people that are downtrodden, and less about really themselves and more about someone else. I think that is relevant today for Philemon to do what is right, because he wants to do what is right as a believer. That's why Paul sent Onesimus back. He wanted to keep Onesimus. He said it, but once again, he modeled what needed to be done. It wasn't the easy thing for any of them, but it needed to be done. Why do we do what we do? When we start to look at that, when we start to become people who aren't doing things for our own benefit, that is so relevant today. I see people that are just, once again, doing things with the wrong reasons, the wrong motivation. It's something that's trendy or out of obligation or for some self-serving reason. And that's not what it's about. That's not what service and care for someone is about. That's not what forgiveness and reconciliation is about. Seeking to let God change our hearts. That's what this walk and this growth and this maturing as a believer is about. When he changes our hearts, that starts to change our views, and that starts to change our lives. It's letting God use that change in our lives to change the lives of others. Y'all, that's the gospel lived out, and that's the why that is happening here, and that's the why that needs to happen in us. That's the power of the gospel in action. See, Paul teaches that lesson, and it's a lesson that we can still learn today. The lesson he has for him is this man is no longer a slave. This man is changed. This man is different. He is your brother. The lesson he's teaching him is, in God's eyes, all people are the same. Hear that again. In God's eyes, all people are the same. It doesn't matter what their political view is. It doesn't matter what their income level is. It doesn't matter what their address is. It doesn't matter what their race is. It doesn't matter what their sin is. All people in God's eyes are the same. And if we're truly, truly trying to seek to become a people who are in Christ, we must see people the way God sees people. I love this verse from Galatians 3:28. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. For us to be all one in Christ Jesus, that's the goal. That's the view we need to have. That's the lesson taught in Philemon. So what happened? Where'd the story go? We don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us, but we have an idea, and I'll tell you what I think. While we don't know for sure, what I think happened is, I think Philemon heard Paul's teaching, acted on it, and welcomed Onesimus back as a brother, and then returned him to Paul to serve in Rome. Because it's interesting, 50 years after this letter was written, there was a letter written to the church Ephesus from Ignatius, and it talks about a bishop who was useful in Christ. And what do you think his name was? Onesimus. So this runaway slave, I believe, became a bishop in Ephesus. That, my friends, is a miracle. So what will happen if we live into these little lessons that are taught to us in this little book right here before Hebrews? If our hearts start to change, if forgiveness starts to happen, if we start to become a people who are refreshers as opposed to drainers, what's going to happen? I don't know. But I believe God still does miracles. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this small book with so many lessons for us, Lord. I pray that you will help us not to let these be things that just stay on the shelf, but that we take and really put into our lives. Lord, may we practice to become people who are people of your word, all one in Christ Jesus. Lord, may we seek to be people who lift up and encourage refreshers, not people who drain and complain. May we see people the way you see them with loving eyes, Lord, and may we continue to do your work that you have laid before us, seeking your will first before our own. I thank you, I praise you, I give you all the glory, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.